come to these psalms, this little collection of psalms, I want to ask you, have you ever felt like life has knocked you off balance? Have you ever felt like life has knocked you off balance? You've been going along fine. Things have been going well. And then all of a sudden, something unexpected comes along and it knocks you flat on your face. It knocks the stuffing out of you. I know there have been moments in my life when that has happened. A sudden bereavement, a devastating diagnosis. Just something unexpected that has thrown us into a bit of turmoil and threatened to knock us over. The question these psalms, this wee collection of psalms answers is, how do we cope? How do we get by? How do we flourish when life is like that? How do we flourish when life threatens to knock us off balance? The first part of the answer comes in the opening words of Psalm 123. I lift my eyes to you who sits enthroned in heaven. Mentioned earlier that when I returned from holiday, the first thing I did on Tuesday was go along to Summer Together. And one of the things that was happening there was the children and young people were doing circus skills with Gordon Roy from SU Scotland. And you can see there they were doing stilt walking, they were riding kind of tiny wee bikes, there was unicycling, there was plate spinning, there was pogo sticks, there was balancing big poles and all these kind of things. And with all of these different things, balance was absolutely key. They are all about keeping your balance or keeping something else balanced, and the things that you were balancing with or balancing on were all things that were inherently wobbly. And so Gordon was great with the kids and the young people. He would get them all started. He gave them some instructions. Says, right, now go and play. And then he would stop them all, and he would give them some tips on how to keep their balance. And so he would say things like, when you're riding a bike, do you keep looking down at your wheels or do you look straight ahead? You look straight ahead. Well, when you're on stilts, why are you looking down at your feet? Or if you're trying to balance a big pole in your hand or on your chin, where do you look? Do you look down at your hand? You look up at the top of whatever it is you're balancing or the plate that you're spinning. When you're on a rollerboard or a unicycle, how do you keep your balance? You can't look at the top of your own head. So he says, so you fix your eyes on a point in the distance, and even although your body might then move, your head stays still and you can keep your balance. And in every instance, where you put your eyes, what you focus on, helps you keep your balance. Where you look helps you keep your balance. And that's what this psalm is telling us. I lift my eyes to you who sit enthroned in heaven. In this psalm, people are coming and attacking. There's words of contempt that are coming towards the people, but it could be anything. When that happens, how do I keep my balance? How do I stop life from knocking me over? I need to fix my eyes. I can't look down at my problems. I can't look down at tomorrow's worries. I can't look down at the latest news. That's what the world kind of tells us to do, to look downwards, to look inwards. And the psalm says the remedy to that, the way to keep your balance in a world that continually tries to throw you off is to lift your eyes to the one enthroned in heaven. And you can think of you know, you can think of a couple of instances in the scriptures where we see something like this. I think that the most obvious is perhaps Peter, who, you know, him and the disciples are out in the boat, and Jesus comes to them walking on water, and they think it's a ghost, and Jesus is like, no, it's me, and Peter's like, how can we know? He's like, if it's you, tell me to come out of the boat and I'll walk over to you. And that's what Peter does. He steps out of the boat and he walks on water towards Jesus. And when does it all go wrong? When does he fall? When does he lose his balance? When does he start to drown? When he takes his eyes off of Jesus and looks to the waves. Or we can think of the writer of Hebrews who instructs us, fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of your faith. We need to look up to the one enthroned in heaven to keep our balance in a world that throws us off. But the next psalm in this little trilogy, Psalm 124, also tells us indirectly where to look. It's a psalm that tells us to look back and to remember how God rescued us or rescued his people in the past. Sorry, I've skipped on there. To look back and remember how God rescued his people in the past. Psalm 123 teaches us to look up when we feel overwhelmed. Psalm 124 teaches us to look back and to remember when we begin to lose heart. And the psalm begins effectively by posing a question. Where would we be if God had not been with us? Where would we be if God had not been with us? And it then invokes the image of the Exodus, and looks to God's great rescue of the Israelites from Egypt. It brings to mind that great moment in Exodus 14 when the people are trapped. They are trapped between Pharaoh's army on one side and the Red Sea on the other. And the people are terrified. They're complaining to Moses. They're saying to Moses, Moses, it would have been much better if you had just left us in Egypt and we could have died there instead of here. This is going to be awful. This is going to be a bloodbath. And Moses turns and he tells the people, do not be afraid. Stand firm. And you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. Remember the dangers. Remember the floods. Remember the trap. Remember how close everything came to being lost. And then remember this. The Lord was on our side and he fought for us. You know, I sometimes think we are far better at remembering our troubles than we are at remembering God's faithfulness. We can recall every anxiety, every disappointment, every unanswered question. But these pilgrims, these people who are singing these psalms as they make their way to Jerusalem, they are reminding themselves, they are rehearsing the ways in which God has carried them in the past. And as Christians, we have even more reason to do that. Because we can look back not only on God's faithfulness to the people of Israel, not only to God's faithfulness in our own lives, but we can look back to the cross. Because at the cross, that's where we see the greatest rescue of all. That's where we see the greatest sacrifice of all. That's where we see the greatest act of faithfulness of all. You see, our greatest enemy in life has never been our circumstances. Our greatest enemy in life is sin and death. And in Christ, God has rescued us. In Christ, God has rescued us. And that prompted Paul to write these amazing words. If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? In other words, if God has done that for us, if God has given us his own son, how will he hold back anything else? How will he not help us through whatever trouble, whatever circumstance we are now facing? Do you know, we've been singing that song over the past month or so, "Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim. Today's problems will fade into the background in the light of his glory and grace." I wanted just to share with you, these are the words of the commentator Michael Wilcock, who is reflecting on this Psalm 124. And he says this, this is the testimony of believers who have found themselves not simply threatened, but actually trapped. But somehow, not by their own doing, the snare has been broken. God has done it. If Psalm 123 was a distress psalm, then Psalm 124 is a power psalm. And that is our confidence. How could the God who created all things, in verse 8, be defeated by a birdcatcher's snare? Still more, as the New Testament will add, how could the God who redeemed us by the gift of his Son not also along with him graciously give us all things? When we do this, when we look back and remember how God has been there for us in our times of need, when we remember how he has been there for people that we know and love, when we take a moment to remember what God has done for us in Christ, who gave his life for us, who created all things, who rose from the grave, then we can be absolutely sure that he is with us now and he will get us through whatever trouble or distress we are currently facing. So, we look up, we look back, and then Psalm 125, we look forward. Psalm 125 teaches us what to trust, who to trust when the future feels uncertain. Now remember, these are pilgrim psalms. And the pilgrims, God's people, are making their way towards Jerusalem. They're climbing the final stretches of the hill. The city comes into view. And before they see the temple itself, they see something else. They see the surrounding hills. Jerusalem is a city on a hill, but it is also surrounded by hills. And the psalmist says to the pilgrims as they look at these hills, the psalmist says, these hills that surround Jerusalem that you are approaching are a picture of something greater. Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be shaken, but endures forever. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people, both now and evermore. And so this is just such a helpful image. Mount Zion is surrounded by other hills. As the pilgrims approach, these hills become a picture, a living picture of God's care. Every time they look around at them, they're reminded that just as Jerusalem is surrounded on every side by hills, so the Lord himself surrounds his people. The mountains, that surrounded Jerusalem were never its security. They were simply a visible reminder of an invisible reality. The safety of God's people lies not in their geography, but in the God who has chosen to dwell among them. In fact, while we were away, we were looking at Philippians, and I mentioned this on Tuesday in our time of prayer before summer together. In Philippians chapter 1, as Paul is introducing himself and as he identifies the people he's writing to, he says to the church, to those who are, where are they? In Christ Jesus. He identifies them by their geographical location is first and foremost in Christ. And he says, that's where your security lies. And then Paul writes, in Christ Jesus at Philippi. And you might be in Stirling, in Brayhead, but you're not. You're in Christ Jesus. That is where your security comes. For the people of Jerusalem, for these pilgrims, storms still came, enemies still came, God's people still knew times of hardship, but through it all, God remained faithful. And the hills stood there day after day, year after year, quietly reminding the pilgrims that they were never left to fend for themselves. You see, that is what pilgrimage, that is what this Christian journey is always about. The people are traveling to Jerusalem, they're making their way to the temple, they're bringing their sacrifices, but beneath all of that lies something deeper. They are coming to meet with God. They know that true security isn't in the city in itself, but in the God who has promised to dwell amongst his people. You know, sometimes I think we can imagine that our security depends on us. We need to work hard to make sure that we've got enough, that we're safe enough. And then maybe sometimes we think, well, maybe I need to make sure I'm trusting God more. Maybe I need to make sure that my prayer life is better. If only I didn't have so many doubts and questions. But you see, this psalm gently shifts our focus away from ourselves and onto God. Our hope has never rested on the strength with which we cling to Him. It rests on the strength with which He holds on to us. And we can say something that these pilgrims never could. You see, we know that God's presence is no longer centered on one city or one temple or one people. In Jesus Christ, God's presence has come to dwell among us. Through his death and resurrection, Christ has opened the way into the Father's presence. The security these pilgrims sing of, the security that they glimpse as they make their way towards Jerusalem becomes ours in Jesus. And that's why Paul can say also in Romans chapter 8, who will separate us from the love of Christ? And of course the answer is there is no one and nothing that can separate us from the love of Christ. Because the God who has laid hold of us in Christ will never let us go. Now, none of that means that life will be easy. In fact, that the Psalm 125 goes on to say that God's people will still experience the scepter of the wicked. There will still be opposition. There will still be suffering. There will still be seasons when evil and hardship and difficulty seem to have the upper hand. But God's protection is not a promise that we will never know hardship. It is a promise that hardship will never have the final word. And so the psalm ends with peace. Peace be on Israel. Peace be on my people. Or as the risen Christ says when he approaches his disciples, peace be with you. Not because every problem has disappeared, not because every enemy has been defeated, but because God's people belong to him. And of course, we hear these words with even greater hope, because our journey is not simply towards an earthly Jerusalem, but towards a heavenly city where Christ reigns and where one day every sorrow will come to an end. Until that day, these three wonderful psalms teach us how to walk life's path. And so perhaps whatever this week holds for us, these ancient songs might invite us to keep looking in the right direction. Maybe as you look at the Ochil Hills, why not just try and have that picture in your mind of the security of God. Every time you see the hills surrounding Stirling, overlooking Stirling, just say, I lift my eyes to the one enthroned in heaven, and remember that that is where my security and my help comes from. Lift your eyes to the Lord. Look back and remember his faithfulness. Look forward with confidence in his promises. The road may still be steep. There may be days when we stumble. There will still be moments when the journey feels long. But the God who has carried his people through every generation has not changed. He is still on his throne. He is still mighty to save. He surrounds his people with his love. And through Jesus Christ, he will bring us safely home. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for these ancient songs of pilgrimage and for the way they still speak into our lives today. When we are overwhelmed, help us to lift our eyes to you, remembering that you are enthroned in heaven and that your mercy never fails. When we are discouraged, help us to remember your faithfulness and to rejoice again in the great salvation you have accomplished for us in Jesus Christ. And when the road ahead of us feels uncertain, give us the quiet confidence that comes from knowing that you surround your people with your steadfast love, and nothing can separate us from your care. Lord, keep us faithful as we continue our own pilgrimage of faith until the day comes when we shall come into your nearer presence and rejoice with all your people in your everlasting kingdom. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.